Without further ado, let's get into our program, Neighbors for Kids. Good morning, guys.
Good morning again.
Yes, good morning.
Well, real nice to have you on, and you're so enthusiastic. There's a lot of good energy coming from you and the things that you're accomplishing, and I know this is going to go by very fast. Toby, we should probably put in perspective, what is Neighbors for Kids? I see it. It's a beautiful building in Depot Bay.
Yes. First of all, thank you for having us here. Mm-hmm. We're very excited about being here and about Neighbors for Kids. We're in a very important moment in time. Neighbors for Kids has been around for 10 years, actually, in the city of Depot Bay. It was previously known as Neighbors Against Drugs. Huh. And it's evolved from a neighborhood watch program into now one of the most well-attended nonprofit 501c3 organizations in Lincoln County.
And the building's fairly new. The
building's brand new. We've only been in the building not even 1 year. And the building, of course, has helped us to expand our program significantly over the last year. And now we have 108 children registered, another 20 or more on a waiting list. And the need for our services just continues to grow.
108 kids are registered.
108 kids.
So what kinds of programs are you offering for them?
Well, our signature programs we provide right now, we're namely known for the Kid Zone after school program. But people may not realize we also operate all summer long with the Kid Zone. So anytime these kids are out of school, we have those out-of-school time structured, supervised educational activities. In addition to the Kid Zone, we have our Academic Excellence and Achievement Program, which what that is, it's reading and math support by professionals so they can get that one-on-one that they need that the schools are having a struggle to provide nowadays. We have a USDA food program where we feed children healthy food throughout the year, both after school, a dinner, and then a free lunch and afternoon snack during the summer. We have our rowing club, which has been around for a long time when our boats exist in the Depot Bay Harbor. And we also offer music lessons, piano and guitar lessons, as well as one of the very exciting programs with the college is the Youth Entrepreneurship Program, which we explained with Guy Faust when you were present in front of the county commissioners. And the Youth Entrepreneurship Program is really taken off. We have 10 teenagers consistently attending these classes, learning about developing their business, making a business plan, and about to launch a business this summer.
So we're going to see this come, and this is going to be really exciting to see them actually go out and take it from the, you know, the planning stages. But, you know, I know we can touch more on that. I'm curious, Toby, how did you find your way to Neighbors for Kids? And where were you before you came here, and how long have you been there?
Well, I have a history with after-school programs. I was one of these kids at one point. I grew up in a Boys and Girls Club, which is the national after-school program down in San Diego. But I have experience after graduating from University of Oregon with an education degree. I have experience running a Boys and Girls Club in Eugene, Oregon. So I was the director there for 4 years. And when I moved back to the coast, after living in Eugene for 9 years, I discovered Neighbors for Kids. I discovered the Kid Zone. And now I'm in my fifth year full-time working for Neighbors for Kids. And it's a very exciting point in my career. It's part of me giving back to Lincoln County. It's part of me understanding the needs that have existed here for many, many years for children and helping these kids around here succeed and set high expectations. And have an environment like we have at Neighbors for Kids, a new building, and the board of directors that are so committed is providing us the tools and the means necessary to make this thing happen.
So Neighbors for Kids, is it an all-day program, or is it just mostly after school?
In the after school, in the school district calendar, whenever school is open, we're open. And as soon as the bell rings, our hours of operation exist. I'm there all day, of course, because I'm a full-time director. But the hours for children right now are 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. And in the summertime, we have yet to determine this summer's schedule, but we're typically open for 10 weeks, 4 or 5 days a week in the summertime.
Steve, can we bring you in and talk about how long you've been involved with the program and tell us about generally what you're doing with the program?
Yes. Well, I moved to Depot Bay about 5 years ago, retired. I'm a former executive in the information technology business, and Depot Bay was just a choice of ours to move to. We wanted to be on the ocean, but I was bored coming here after my exciting career, until one of the board members at Neighbors for Kids asked me to get involved a year ago. So now I feel like a little kid in a candy store. I'm having so much fun. But my main focus as a board member, like the rest of us, is that we worry about long-term sustainability. So we're really involved in writing a five-year business plan right now together, because our fund makers really demand that we operate and function like a professional business, so that we can show our fund, our donors and our funders, that we are a responsible organization and we have the right kind of professionals running it, like Toby, for example. So we bring to the board professional people to work with us. We have, like any other business, we have marketing and sales and communications and all the things that you would normally see in a startup business. And we are a thriving, fledgling startup business. Believe me, it's a real challenge. So I feel like I'm back in my career. I wasn't planning on it, but I'm having more fun than I've had in my entire life. It's just fantastic.
You guys seem very inspired. And Steve, can you tell me what it is about Toby? Because you're seem like a very accessible person to me, very knowledgeable. What is it about him that's helped making the program success for the kids?
Well, to me, at my prime age, Toby takes ownership. He's very passionate about his work. He's very, very smart. He's a leader. And in this kind of startup environment, you need leaders. You need people that are self-directed. You need people that are entrepreneurial. And Toby teaches the class to the kids from Oregon Coast Community College. We teach it together, and we get along very well together, because I come from a toxic home environment. My father is a World War II survivor. He's no longer with us, but he suffered for years with battle fatigue, now known as post-traumatic stress disorder, and research shows that that is passed on to kids. So there's a lot of kids out there that deal with this sort of thing from the Vietnam War, and also now with Iraq and Afghanistan and all the rest of it. So I worry personally about those kids, because I'm one of them, and anything that I can do for the rest of my life, it's kind of like a calling. I feel a real calling to give back and to do my part to help these kids, any of them. And this kind of mentoring is very, very significant to a young person. If they come in the door and they're not feeling very good about themselves, because you can feel very, very insecure if you live in a toxic home environment. And it's amazing how many kids live in a toxic home environment.
And the opportunities for them, you know, the numerous programs. If I'm, I am a new parent, so if I need or feel like I need this opportunity for my kids, where do I begin? Would I contact you and you know, because you got a waiting list, so
yes,
how does it work out?
So if you were a parent and you had a kindergartner, the first thing you'd have to do is just give us a call. If you'd like to learn more about our programs, we'll explain everything about what we provide. We have a website, neighborsforkids.org, that will explain a breakdown of our different programs and opportunities.
Nice website.
And at that point, if you're a parent who's, you know, the next one to call, we'd have to put you on a waiting list. But I must make a comment that we're about to finish our second floor of this building. Once we complete our second floor, another 2,600 square feet.
Wow. So it is quite tall, isn't it?
Yes, the waiting list will end. All those kids on that waiting list are going to join us. And we'll be at the point for a while, we'll be able to safely expand this program and add all the children who need our services into the mix of Neighbors for Kids programs.
Okay, we're talking to Toby Nguyen and Steve Sparks. They're with Neighbors for Kids. We've got much more to talk about. Stay with us, and we'll be back in just a moment. And you're back with Lincoln County Connections. Toby Nguyen, Steve Sparks, Neighbors for Kids. You know, there's so many things that you're doing. Maybe a good thing to reinforce is that your website is neighborsforkids.org. So that is definitely a way to go and learn more about what you're doing, because we're just basically touching on a lot of depth here. But this is all possible for because of the generosity of the community. And you've got a foundation, and these people make a difference. Who are they?
Yes, we've had support over the years by several private grant foundations. A lot of our funding does come from those sources. Our building itself was not only supported by U.S. congressional money, by one of those earmarks, which we're very gracious and thankful for, but it was supported by the M.J. Murdoch Charitable Trust, the Ford Family Foundation, the Meyer Memorial Trust, the Collins Foundation, Oregon Community Foundation, Bank of America Foundation, Spirit Mountain Community Fund, and as well as the community themselves joining our brick by brick fundraiser. There's that's ongoing, and there's also programmatically we've been supported by Trust Management Services LLC, who are out of Walport. Celette's Tribal Charitable Contribution Fund has been generous over many, many years consistently. The Gray Family Fund, PGE Foundation, Jubitz Family Foundation, Charlotte Y. Mountain Foundation, the Juan Young Trust, Rose E. Tucker Charitable Trust, Snowman Foundation, Safeway Foundation, Walter Behrens Foundation, the Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon, who supported us providing food to children in summer, and the Otzen Foundation. And we have new grants pending right now. So besides the community giving and these grants, we have a very diversified fundraising strategy to be sustainable.
And as you continue to expand up, I mean, you have volunteers now. What's the need going to be? What's the plan with your growth here?
Well, Toby mentioned a lot of supporters that are very critical to us. But right now, there's two things that we're challenged with. The in-kind part of the donation that we get from the community is really, really important. Okay. There are things that we would have to pay for, hundreds of thousands of dollars of services. I don't get a paycheck from Neighbors for Kids. I work there. It's become a full-time job, and I'm a professional. I don't invoice Neighbors for Kids. Mm-hmm. My contribution is my contribution. We need professionals to come in and help us out right now. We have the wind at our back. It's kind of like a tornado effect. So everything we do now, we need to do the right things, and we need to do those things right. And the in-kind donation part of this thing is extremely important as well. And that's where we get to the second floor and the services and programs provided there, because we're in a centrally located place in the county. You have to either go to Newport or you have to either go to Lincoln City to go to the rec center or go to college or anywhere else. Now, in Depot Bay, we have an educational institution and community center that people can get to and get those similar services and have something that's accessible. So we have a lot of work to do to keep the lights on as well. Keeping the lights on is not part of the funding that we get from these larger fund makers. So it's exciting to think about the funding we get, but we still have an operational responsibility, and that's to keep the lights on. And that's when the business plan comes into play, is so that we can show that we're day-to-day operating as a successful business enterprise.
If you have kids and they get involved in the programs, is it like a sliding scale type of a situation? How does it work in terms of cost?
Well, just over the last year, we've implemented a fee system finally. That's a good question you asked. Over the 10 years leading up to that, it's been free service to any kids who want to be involved. And right now, it is a sliding scale in the fact that there are different methods of ways for parents to pay off their bill. We make sure all kids will attend our program and never, ever let money stand in the way. Mm-hmm. We are now a licensed child care center through the state of Oregon as well. Hmm. That happened last June. So we've reached a new level of professionalism with that. So now we are able to bill families for the first time ever. But the way they work off their bill is entirely up to them. They can volunteer their time. They can write us a check if they can afford it. But with the demographics and the youth we serve and the youth we see in Lincoln County, it's not a very realistic thing to bill a lot of the families. But we're totally happy with parents volunteering their time, going on a field trip, donating goods for arts and crafts, working it off through some of our fundraising efforts, going to a special event and representing Neighbors for Kids, sending out our newsletter, reading to your child at home. Imagine that. We'll let you fulfill your payment if you read an hour a night, one-on-one with your child. How about that for a sliding scale?
Really cool.
Oregon Coast Community College is critical to our future, too, as we develop the relationship with them, because that's funding that we can use for operations, to pay for our teachers, pay for materials, to keep those classes going. So those are the kind of relationships that we're really, really interested in. Once we build the building, it will stay empty unless we have those kinds of relationships.
Now, you said with the second floor, you're significantly expanding. I mean, does that mean that the classes offered sometimes may go beyond just kids? It becomes a useful location for different activities?
Yes. And first, let me explain the rooms that are going to be up there. There's going to be quite a few more classrooms and two more bathrooms up there, as well as an office area. The classrooms that are going to be there, one of them, which is very exciting, is a teen development center. We're going to build a teen center for 7th graders through 12th graders. It's a nice large room where we can incorporate things that their developmental need. So career development, academic support, technology, youth entrepreneurship. This teen center will provide a place where we can really build the education and the workforce aspect of our organization for teenagers. We can invest in them, give them a sense of belonging in our building, and they don't have to hang out with the little kids. And that's another reason why typically it's a low attended population in all programs throughout the state, throughout the nation, is because the teens have to have a place to call their own. We're building that place finally. We're also building a permanent education classroom, which we're going to have our tutoring academic excellence program exist with a miniature library, desks, quiet space dedicated to give those kids that one-on-one support that they need so bad nowadays. And in addition, we'll have a visual arts and crafts classroom, and that's a classroom where a variety of art and incorporating technology, of course, with the digital photography and everything will occur in that room. And then our other room, which is exciting, which Steve touched on, is technology, computer information technology. We'll have a multi-purpose room that can not only be used for homework assistance daily, but can work as a functioning Wi-Fi, fiber optic cable, RAN, computer technology center.
And the possibility for the conference discussions, I mean, there could be specialty remote instruction. Too cool. Yep.
Distance learning is a big thing that we think about, which Oregon Coast Community College's relationship points us to the four-year institutions where we can have distance learning opportunities there as well. Glad you brought that up.
So with 3 minutes left, I'd like to give you guys a chance to really, you know, plug the most important things you'd like to leave people with today. What's on your mind?
Well, I would say that on my mind, as a older guy, 64 going on 65, I see the problems in America with education. And we clearly have a model that complements the school district and offers kids an opportunity to pick up their learning skills that they're not necessarily getting to meet. The school districts are in a crunch. It's very difficult for them right now. I'm not saying that what we do is easy or it's free or anything like that, but it's a public-private partnership model. And in America, I think that's where we're going, and most people comment, we need to have this in every community. Every rural community should have a schoolhouse like this.
Okay. Toby?
And I'd like to say the same thing, is that we're here to support the needs of the school system, the objectives of education, and really the needs of these children and families in Lincoln County. I feel that it's time that we invest in the future of these kids, because they are our next generation. They're going to be in charge. They're going to be taking care of us one day. So what a better time than right now to stand behind an effort like this and perhaps replicate it in other communities.
Yeah.
And as far as that, if anyone would like to get on our website, neighborsforkids.org, we are having a golf tournament fundraiser coming up this summer. Good. And we have a guest celebrity, Dan Fouts, who people may know through the NFL, through the University of Oregon, through the San Diego Chargers. But I won't go into that. But if you'd like to get involved or become a sponsor or play in the tournament, go ahead into our website and all the information is there.
So once again, we can reach Neighbors for Kids online at neighborsforkids.org, and they could probably call you directly.
And they can give us a call, and the number is 541-765-8990.
So the golf tournament coming up, of course, anytime you guys would welcome volunteers, people with special things that they'd like to offer, specialty skills, they can contact you, and Well, wonderful. Well, we'll look to hear more from you. Please, you know, keep the door open. Let me know everything that's happening with you and the kinds of things that you need to get out there to the media and you need to talk to the county. Please let us know.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for having us.
Wonderful, guys. I wish we could have more time. Maybe we need to expand the program to an hour because half an hour goes by so fast. So next week on the program, actually, we're having another educator. The gentleman's name is Josh Mice. He's a Head Start instructor. So thanks for listening. And we'll have the program same time, same place next week. Have a great day.